Welcome to the mystical world we live in with Almeen. This hour, you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
Very, very warm welcome to the very first show in a series that is entitled The Mystical World We Live In, Discovering the Secrets of the Hidden Realms. We are delighted that you have joined us today. It is the beginning of, I hope, a very long association with BBS Radio and this show, and so we hope you will become part of our light family. The show is about the priceless opportunity we have of these extraordinary times in which we live to discover the secrets and the revelations of the mystical realms that is all around us, to delve deeper into the mysteries that lie behind the face value of appearances, to understand clearer those laws that govern reality. My name is Almeen, and I will be the host of the show for its duration, and the show will tend to be recorded in segments of 13 weeks, covering specific topics during those 13 weeks, and then changing its format somewhat so that we can approach it again from a different angle. So, very, very warm welcome, and we have with us on the show today one of the masters from Europe, the Master Rogier Chardet, and he is here to help me, for I've asked him to gather all the questions that he can think of that our listeners might want to share with us in discovering this mystical world we live in and the secrets of the hidden realms. Very welcome, Rogier.
Thank you, Almeen.
We're very glad you could join us today, and please, let's start in. We want to have lots of wonderful questions.
Well, to just dive right in somewhere, I think an interesting theme to begin with would be a theme that has been covered in some of your latest books, dealing with the corruption of the masculine grids and the masculine deities. And I'm asking that specifically in regards to the emails we have received, concerned emails, especially in relating to Thoth, where, you know, people were confused, like, because initially you were on good standing with him, and of course he's very popular in the New Age movement. So really, because of the questions we've received about him and, well, other deities, I would like you to ask you to relate a story, really, of, you know, what went on there and what happened.
Yes, with pleasure. The journey for me began, and I should introduce this a bit because this is our first show, and many of you may not actually be aware of me and the work that I've done. The masters, both in Europe and in America and in some other countries, have been working now for 2 years at the instruction of the Infinite Mother Goddess. I've been working very closely with some of the orders that I think Rogier will be mentioning today, but these orders are in different countries, and the Ascended Masters within them have been part of my journey. And so, my brothers and sisters, it began in 2005, in February. First, I was called before the Ascended Masters, and I was asked to state my path. And soon after, in the very beginning of February, I was called before the Mother Goddess and given the instruction to prepare the planet to become the way-shower, as I have prophesied it would eventually be for multiple years before that, in what was became a multiple layered ascension. The earth began, and she pulled everything behind her. We have been on this path of ascension, and it has now been what for us is 2 years in the making. For the rest of the cosmos, it has been a much longer period. During this time, we have moved out of what is called the cycles of the fall. And the cycles of the fall was a time of great illusion. And during the cycles of the fall, the actual true God, which is the Mother Creation's first creation, the Father in heaven, was not present in what could be termed the television screen or the cycles of the fall. Instead, gods that were corrupt and self-serving, during those cycles of descension that we did over and over again, multiple times trying to break free, but only in the last 2 years actually managing, they were imposters. And to be very specific here and answering your question, there were six primary dark ones, and I mean beyond what we even would imagine Lucifer would have been. The primary one who posed as God the Father, and it took years, as I said, to really uncover the treacheries. Because it's easy when you're at a specific level for these beings from higher level to pull the wool over your eyes, you see. But it took some years to uncover. However, we had the God the Father imposter, which is now not the real one, that we only encountered as we moved free from these cycles as a cosmos last August of 2007. But the Father God's imposter that posed like him was one. He had two assistants, and they became, you know, known as number two and number three. And then there was Thoth, who had for eons posed as a benign and beneficial god. He had, in fact, also posed as my friend and met multiple times, pretended to be an advisor. The heinous acts that they performed was fully revealed to the cosmos last August by the Mother Goddess, as it became clear. And there were two goddesses as well. The one is actually incarnated and has since left. The body is empty. But the point is, she was known as the Goddess of Lies. And the other one also posed as my friend and advisor, and it was the Goddess Sarah. Very, very dark goddess that is mentioned actually in Revelations. So, Rogier, it was multiple layers of deceit, and it took a long time to uncover the true nature of what had happened. And they had deliberately corrupted masculinity.
Okay, and I remember reading in the book Ring of Truth where you... I think for the first time really discloses information, and I remember wondering at the time if there wasn't, you know, because it's so fashionable to say that, you know, it's in this universe or this cosmos, it's all a game of polarity, and, you know, the bad guys are really working for the good and all that, but it seemed that really they were sort of born of distortion to the core. Is that correct?
Yes, and you know, I had the same feeling. For the longest time, I felt that if I just kept peeling the layers of the onion back, that somewhere I would find a core of innocence. And then, at about the close of last year, Mother said to me, "There is such a thing as guilt, you know." And she explained it to me like this. Let's say a light worker, 2 years ago, undertook, in terms of the contract that is made with the Infinite Mother or the Father, that they would, in fact, embody some form of illusion so that the light promoters around them, which are the perception getters, could learn. But there comes a time when they've learned it. Well, there's no longer a need to play that role. So the choice is to step off that treadmill. It's when someone chooses not to step off the treadmill that they in fact become what you can call guilty, or that there is in fact culpability for that. Now, if we look at what these represented, they represent portions of existence that the infinite mother, who is the one being expressing as the many, and she's everything, so she's both masculine and feminine, but because there is more feminine present, because it has to birth the cosmos, it is therefore mother in heaven. But there were six main portions of her being that she did not fully understand. Was this mirror that she saw really what she was, or was it their own choice? Because beings were created with their own choice. So there were six actual categories in which the mother goddess did not comprehend whether that was part of her or not. And so it had to be studied by living it out in experience. These six perpetrators represent those pieces. But once it was understood that it was not what she was, and she actually in pristineness remade them, but they chose yet again to turn back to their self-serving, incredibly dark deeds. And so, you know, there is indeed the culpability.
All right. And I remember when I was in your, we call it a workshop, but you know, the Order of the Rose in Ireland in May. And I recall you disclosing to us that the problem really starts with how they were created, which was that the Infinite Mother has given away her third eye to, well, I think to create her mate at that time. Is that correct?
It is, but if we understand, Mother created Father in Heaven before the screen was created.
Right.
So the Mother... Now we have to differentiate also between mother and her feminine aspects, if I can deviate just for a moment from your question and clarify this for our listeners.
Go ahead.
There is the infinite being that decides that it would put its focus on a specific spot within the vastness of its existence. This is the spot where creation will take place. The first being that forms, that never ever lost his pristineness, is the Father in Heaven, her first mate and only mate. She created him as an externalized expression of all that was masculine within her. So then they create a screen, and it is there where Mother starts to create her children. Now, there are multiple reasons why she did that, but it is within the screen that space was created and progression went in loops. A lot like the jet streams that you see where the jets are flying, there are specific airplane routes. Therefore, they draw those lines across the map in the back of the airplane magazines of where they fly. There's space everywhere, but there are specific routes on which they travel. Well, the same thing for the cosmos. So there was linear routes to keep space open like that. Mother took her feminine aspects and again created externalized expressions of them. One of those mothers, several layers down into the fall, actually gave a piece of herself away to create a masculine counterpart. But when she created this masculine counterpart, the imposter from above entered it and became the soul that occupied that which she was trying to create.
Right. And I know that a lot of this will be disclosed as well in your forthcoming book about Isis. And I understand that the information there has come from the Isis libraries. Is there anything else you can tell us about that?
Oh, my gosh, that is so exciting. I would love to. And in fact, our listeners may want to go to our website, which is www.spiritualjourneys.com. And they will find there are books listed. But there is a book, The Gift of the Unicorns. And the second half of the book, before I speak about the Isis book, the second half of the book, The Gift of the Unicorns, I took down verbatim the dictation as given to me by the ones that are known as the History Keepers. It's an entire kingdom of which we were completely unaware, that Mother had asked to become the History Keepers of the cosmos. And so they kept the history of the cycles of the fall. And so that, you know, is another place where a lot of these incredible insights about how we ended up in such illusion before, how it happened and came about. Now, in Ireland, on the 28th of January, 2005, there was a group of immortal masters that came through a time tunnel, 22 of them to be exact. And they came through to the area known as Clonmacnoise in Ireland. And it was a time tunnel that was different than most in that it would travel between what you call cycles of existence. They came through, and immediately after, Isis herself closed that tunnel down. They came to Ireland, and their job was to establish the Order of the White Rose and prepare to create this cradle of love and pristineness that would once again prepare the earth to receive white magic among men. Magic is the manipulation of intent to create a better reality. It is not corruptible, and it has simply not been present. And so Mother wished to establish this yet again on the land of Ireland. And for this, the Order of the White Rose was called. How we came to be able to enter the Isis libraries and translate its records, we will share with you next. But first, let's take a small commercial break, and we'll be back with you soon after.
Brand new book, The Gift of the Unicorns, is now available from Almeen. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. Receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns. Go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today.
Welcome back. We are delighted to have you on this, our first show of the mystical world we live in, discovering the secrets of the hidden realms. And we have with us today Rogier Chardet from Europe, and he has come to ask me the questions that are most often emailed to us and questions that he has himself encountered so that we can explore these mystical realms. We are about to discover the Isis libraries, how it came to be that that became part of what it was that we translated that became the Isis manuscript. I was in Ireland as a guest of the Order of the White Rose, all of them ascended masters. And I had arrived newly from the States. I was very exhausted. And 1 o'clock in the morning, I was awakened by a knock on the door. I tried to go back to sleep, but then I was knocked on the head. And when I opened my eyes, in front of me, there was a 6-foot huge scarab on the wall with markings on it. The markings were very intricate hieroglyphic languages, and I sat down and copied them until 7 a.m. the next morning. that time, I was able to translate the language. And soon after, the Libraries of Isis was opened to me, and with the assistance of the Masters of the Order of the White Rose, we translated one set of gold plates bound by three rings at the back, and a little portion of another set that was written on an emerald-like substance. I cannot remember if it had two or three rings. I believe it had two rings. So that is what I translated. And it, how I chose that is that I asked, what is it that would most closely dovetail with the history that the history keepers had given to put into the second half of the Gift of the Unicorns, so that we would have a more full understanding of exactly what it is that has happened that has brought mankind into the limelight as that pivot point upon which the whole huge cosmos pivots as a fulcrum point, and how the fall actually happened. So it's called Opening the Doors of Heaven, and it is Revelations of the Mysteries of Isis, and it is done by permission of the Order of the White Rose, that for the first time ever, this was translated.
All right. Well, speaking of the fall, I know you are processing a lot of information on this topic, well, as we speak, really, and I don't think we've ever seen something which is quite as multi-layered as this story, and I wanted to mention it, especially in conjunction with the Order of the Rose. There's also the Order of the Dove, which has been established on the North American continent, and I know in dealing with this order and the information that's been disclosed there, that a lot of it is about the original God the Father and how his story is sort of related to the story of the fall. So I wondered if you might share some information how that all really began.
It was in January of 2007, after the full-blown establishment of the Order of the Rose in the beginning of December 2006, that I started to prophesy that there would be an Order of the White Dove that would be birthed in September. And Rogier, as the primary master of this order, you have in every way helped establish it. But all the magical Order of the White Dove is the positive, proactive, or masculine pole of the restoration of white magic to man. Now, the word magic oftentimes gets a knee-jerk reaction from people, and that is because we have had only black magic on Earth, and the offshoots of it, even though some of it can be benignly used of those offshoots, they nevertheless were born of that. The white magic is used by all kingdoms, for instance, angels. When an angel heals a sick child, it's with his magic. And so Mother has wanted that humanity take back up that which is their birthright, which is this magical order. The Order of the White Dove, in October, its libraries opened. It began to bring its information in September, and you have been very instrumental in assisting me with that. And then in October, the order was actually formally called. And in October also, its libraries opened. And we've not really even gone in there very much. We've just scratched the surface. But they are libraries anciently prepared for the Father at his request by Sunat Kumara, the great master and one of our planetary gods, that had ruled Lemuria for thousands of years. And in Secrets of the Hidden Realms, one of my books, I tell the story of how I was actually sucked through a little time tunnel that opened up in my sacred home where I live in Oregon in the United States. I was sucked through this time tunnel and found myself standing in my night clothes in Lemuria in a courtyard. And the story that I tell there is just indicative of the way in which one can, in fact, access through time and space libraries. The Sanat Kumara libraries, they're extraordinary, and the group of ascended masters that were gathered here in October, we actually went into those libraries. There was multiple keys restored to us. Revelations have come forth out of there, and the true information about the true God of Truth has also come through from those libraries.
Yes, and that's, I know this will obviously be, it's really the stuff of future publications, but we had a lot of questions about how this really began, you know, with the mother and her first mate, God the Father, and really, well, you know, what happened before the beginning, and how, what the problems in paradise really were. Could you comment on that?
And as you know, every time we think we have an answer, there's another one that lies beyond it. So we have gone for months now through multiple layers. So the highest information that we have, and see, if you speak about where the fall began, it depends where you're looking from. For instance, like an apple falling out of a tree, and it bounces from one branch to the next, and then through these bundle of leaves, and then it ends up on the ground. If you are a chipmunk sitting on the second bottom branch, your story of how the apple fell is different than the chipmunk in the top of the tree. So it really depends where we're looking at. But if we look at the very pristine place before life began, to the best of my ability, my brothers and sisters, and please understand that in a month's time, I may be able to give you higher information, but this is the highest I have at the present moment. This light circle that Mother made on the ceiling of her existence, say, of course, there is no ceiling to her. She is everything. But she shone the light on a portion of her being like a very bright round ring from a flashlight. Within it, she created the Father. Herself, as a form, stepped into the ring to be able to relate to him. She created him with every single ability to cope with her emotions and her her being that she contracted into the ring. But what she did not foresee is, in fact, that he would bring such joy to her, such passion and such beautiful emotions, that the ring could not contain it. And they played the role that is similar to what one's subconscious mind or the instinctual male and feminine pole within each person plays. Because man, unique being, is the microcosm, is the macrocosm. There is to understand the role that they played within the circle and why things suddenly went awry, it went like this. There is a modality out there that is called interpretive dance, wherein the patient is in a circle with some therapist sitting around, and they dance out feelings that they have about something. The people around them, the dancer holds the space. If the dance gets too wild and out of bounds, they might call in assistance to hold that space. They observe it. Afterwards, they would mirror back to that person, I felt that you were really feeling this, or I saw you express this, so that there is a very mild form of initial analysis and boundary keeping done. Mother's heart is the direction of within. She and Father played out the role of the below, in that he would hold the space that her emotions would not spill out of that spot of light or chaos could result. But when she saw him and started to interact with this beautiful mate, joy filled her soul so much that he could no longer hold her boundaries. In an attempt to control the boundaries, he started to resist the movement that pushed it out of bounds. Resistance to life creates the internal dialogue of mind. That's what separates someone from someone else who is in mastery. If I call Rogier a master, it is because he dwells in the silence of the mind. The dialogue of the mind occurred in Father in an attempt to hold that which could not have foreseen to be out of bounds. And so we'll go a little further with our story after this commercial break. Please join us then.
A Life of Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content that is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life that provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any of the books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com.
And now we have been speaking with Rogier Chardet about how the fall actually originated. And we have seen that the father was not equipped in the way mother designed him to cope with her emotions when it started to spill across the border of the space that had been created for creation to take place. Now, Rogier, did you want me to go a little further with that, or does that answer the question?
Well, no, I think it would be good to go further, especially in terms of what you have disclosed so far about the creation of belief systems as a coping mechanism and, well, whatever arose as a result of that.
So, all of a sudden, when one is in your mind, when you are relating to the dialogue within mind, which arises, as we said, as resistance to life. What happens, my beloved light family, for those of you that have joined us this day, is in fact that you start to take things at face value. Mind starts to become the petty tyrant that it is for most people. And so all of a sudden, Father started to take Mother at face value. And she could no longer understand why it was he could not see her. So a communication breakdown started to occur between the masculine and feminine. A split started to happen. In addition to that, when one is in the dialogue of the mind, you start to form linear time, because it is in the silence of the mind where you are in the moment. So linear time started to result. The other thing was that Father was confused because he was confronted with more than he was equipped to recognize. Many lightworkers out there will know this syndrome, where when confronted with deceit or untruth, that a feeling of great confusion happens within. That is because they don't have the deceit within themselves. You can only recognize without that which is within. So Father was confronted with larger emotions than he had within, couldn't recognize them, tried to resist because his job was to hold the boundaries, and so confusion resulted. Mother did not have an eternal dialogue. She was in eternal time. She could not understand that he was obsessing about the questions. Now, when confronted with the unknown, there are three ways in which one can actually deal with it that would result in the draining of energy or in the strengthening of the tyranny of mind. Number one, you can obsess about the questions. That drains energy. Number two, you can say that you seek for truth, but reject anything that doesn't conform to your already held belief systems. And when this is the case, the belief systems become prison bars that go thicker and thicker and thicker. And the other tendency is that people attack, ignore, or ridicule that which they do not understand. So these were coping mechanisms that the father engaged in. Mother did not know what to make of it. She used the coping mechanism as much as she could that one should use to stay in expanded awareness and just observe. The Toltec way, in which has been a lifelong journey for me as a Toltec Nagual, it's a specific modality of mysticism, the way that we cope with the unknown is to go out into expansion and to believe without believing and to know without knowing. And we do it specifically so we don't obsess about the questions and lose energy. When you lose energy, you lose consciousness. When father and mother were both confused, confusion drains energy and consciousness fell. So that's the next layer down.
All right. And would you care to disclose what happened after that? Because I take it that if the father was the primary mirror, basically, of the mother, that this would be, well, like you say, she was confused, but what did that mean for creation
point.
Or the cosmos as it was?
So she was confused, and I think what Rahir is bringing up is how did this relate to the creations that she made?
Yes.
Well, my brothers and sisters, the point is, what confused her is that father did have freedom of choice. Because if mother didn't create beings with freedom of choice to some measure, and right now it's a very, very large measure, but initially it was at least 20% freedom of choice, and in father's case it was 80% freedom of choice. If she does not create them with freedom of choice, the purposeful creation, which is to understand more about her own beingness and about the portions of her being that, you know, how does one understand if she has nothing to relate to? So in order to understand, she was now confronted with unknown, and she didn't know which pieces of the unknown that he was mirroring to her were of his own choice, or which portions simply were portions of her that she was not previously aware of. You see, so she didn't really know which was her and which wasn't. So every single piece that she couldn't identify had to be lived out. And so they created a screen, a television or a play, if you want to. Then they directed the play in that they gave the players freedom of choice to ad lib, but they were supposed to represent these pieces that mother could not understand, whether it was her being mirrored back by father or whether it was not. And so beings had to play these things, but learning did not have to be painful. It could have been adventuresome. It could have been joyous or humorous or passionate. But instead, the freedom of choice of the six perpetrators particularly led to self-servingness and tremendous separatism in consciousness, and it caused an even greater fall. And those were choices that they made with the portion of their existence in which they could choose.
And it was by that time that the mother had forgotten about her original made as well. Is that correct?
No, that comes a little later. And here's how we get to that point. So mother and father are sitting watching the screen. But a screen is a space. And the space can only be held open if there are actual mothers present. So the one mother that herself is in the light spot goes into the screen. And that is where she starts to begin to have feminine aspects create loops in which creation can travel so that it gives linear time and space for these beings to mirror to her either that which she is or that which she isn't. She has to yet determine it. But they were very, very rebellious. And so it became necessary for the father to actually go into the screen himself. And he went into the screen, but the perpetrators in the screen were working as a tribe. He had given too much credence. In other words, he had given power to the unreal. And so illusion started to have a hold over that which is real, because it upset him to see the disrespect that was shown to the real mother that went into the screen, and he allowed them to affect the quality of his life. And this gave the power of illusion, and when he went into the screen, they immediately attacked. Mother put him in a pocket of space, and in the pocket of space, he could assist her the best, because she could see that things fell and were continuing to fall, and she didn't know how far the fall would go. She made a couple of provisions, and one of the provisions was that he would assist her in specific ways. Look, let's take a short commercial break and we'll be right back.
In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almaine's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power, Belvaspada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almaine's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back to this, our fourth and last segment of our show, The Mystical World We Live In, Discovering the Secrets of the Hidden Realms. And it is a very, very important day for us because this is our very first show in a series of 13 that cover a specific topic. And we hope to be with you on the BBS radio recordings for a very long time. We have with us Ruchir Shardé, and he has asked the question of how the fall happened. And we have discussed about Mother entering into what was like a television screen in which creation had taken place, that he had entered in after her. Now, there was, and the father is the one that entered in after her that we've been talking about. We are, however, at the point where she put him, because it's as one of the safety mechanisms, she asked for two things to occur. She put Father inside a pocket of space, and although he could here and there inject into the process key opportune moments that could assist, there was not that much he could do. But he could remember. and he could also become the connection that Mother needed with the cosmos as she went deeper and deeper into forgetfulness and into the screen where illusion started to have a bigger and bigger effect. Now, my brothers and sisters, in The Gift of the Unicorns, we describe in great detail, as given by the history keepers of the cosmos to us, exactly what happened during those cycles to the Mother, what happened to the Earth, how the Earth didn't even come from this solar system, and where indeed she came from, and why she has this incredibly important role as the way shower of this ascension process. But it was not until August of 2007 when the Father and Mother again started to reunite. And at the end of August, they were reunited and joined back together again. There are other reasons why the fall went as deep as it did. And one of these pertains to the oceans of consciousness that lie like vast oceans of Mother's consciousness around the cosmos. And the cosmos is the bright spot on the ceiling we've described that, in fact, has differentiated life forms in it. So they were supposed to tell Mother crucial things when she forgot, because she foresaw that that would be the case. They were supposed to remind her that Father was in the pocket, that Father was not available. Instead, the imposter gods said, oh, we are the Father that you left behind. And at first she argued, but they all, Toth included, absolutely assured her, no, that is the case. And eventually she started to believe them. And she felt confused. You see, again, she had a hard time recognizing deceit because she was the absolute essence of honesty. But the oceans of consciousness did not fulfill their contract. And part of it was that the deeper Mother went into forgetfulness, the more masculine she became as a pole, and the more overpolarized the feminine aspects of her became, which are also the oceans of consciousness. And they became very overpolarized into beingness, not active. And so they became, you know, when you don't live your own life, that's when addictions form. You know, Rogier, you and I have been speaking a lot about the different addictions that people have. Isn't it always when people don't live their own lives?
Yeah, exactly. And I was just noticing as well is that when you, speaking of these outer oceans, that it's interesting to see that here on Earth we have, you know, the obviously the addiction to drama and the addiction to television, but it really seems to be the same thing, really.
It is, isn't it? It's very much the same. Because we are the microcosm. If there is addiction, and they became addicted to sitting there watching Mother's drama, and of course you strengthen that which you focus on, so it made more drama, and they were the first television addicts. And so is it any wonder that we are as well? Now, my brothers and sisters, we have not a lot of time left, and perhaps we have another sort of one question that we have time for, but I just wanted to point this out very, very clearly, that it seems as though a series of errors led us into tremendous suffering. But Rogier, perhaps we ought to tell them that, you know, the whole process had been tried many times in a pleasant way. Shall we go there, do you think?
Yes, go there, because that's important, because it didn't work.
It didn't work. 96 times. It was attempted for Mother to gain the experience necessary to turn those unknown portions of her being into the known, and 96 times it failed. Now, is this the only reason? Because for many people, this brings up a lot of anger. We were used so she could know herself. It was absolutely not the reason. For those of you that have read the enchanting book of the Velveteen Rabbit, it is the book of a little velveteen rabbit that a little boy gets for Christmas. And he loves that rabbit so much, and the rabbit is his comfort during times when he has fever, and he plays for endless hours in the garden with his rabbit until the rabbit is quite shabby and worn. But because the little boy loved that rabbit so much, the nursery magic happens, and the nursery fairy changes that rabbit to a real live rabbit. Not different from the Pinocchio story, in which Geppetto loves the puppet he made so much that he wishes he's a real live boy. Mother loved her creations that she made, her first children in the screen, us, so much.
You have 2 minutes left on this call.
Way she could bring us out of the screen. And it's not just about a series of errors of how the fall happened. She went in there to make us real because of the love that she had for us. And here, I think we have time for one more question. Anything around that might be helpful.
Well, there is one question from a reader which sort of ties in what we said earlier. Is that really why have all the parts of your books dealing with Toth not been corrected since you became aware of this information? And why would you include this picture in Aruba Firina, one of your latest books?
Well, first of all, I asked the mother very, very specifically whether those books need to be taken off the market because they have imposters in them, they have Thoth-giving pieces in them. I have a photograph of Thoth standing outside the tenth-story window of the York Hotel, I believe it was, in Toronto. Why? Because even though she has erased the past, I've lived it. And there's been many valuable lessons from that which has happened. And in addition to that, my brothers and sisters, the work at which the masters in my classes and somebody enters in identity consciousness, but they don't stay there for more than a week because of what it is we're asked to do, and from whom much is required, to them much is given. And also they are in the presence of others that have silenced the mind. So generally they don't leave that week still in identity consciousness. So the masters and myself, through the years of work that we have done on doing what Mother once done in the physical to assist the ascension of all.
Exploration began in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Almeen is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almeen, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. Physical preparation in January 2004, Almeen experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for the second time since moving into God consciousness, a state of no longer identifying with the ego, in 2000. In the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from that all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book had been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like automatic public speaking she now does flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it was transcribed. Few have entered into God consciousness, leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer enter the stage of immortal master, and in addition, continue to function among the masses. But as a Toltec Nahual and seer, Helmi's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. Journey to the heart of God is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. Journey to the heart of God contains, no matter how profound, truth. Truth that can be recognized for what it is, and it is the truth that shall set us free. Pick up a copy of The Journey to the Heart of God and discover your personal truth and freedom through Almin's books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show, The Mystical World We Live In, with Al Mean. Please join us again next week.
Wrap up the reason why it has been kept the way it is. At the cutting edge of where we are with the masters, unfortunately, day by day by day, or fortunately, yesterday's information becomes obsolete. However, being at the cutting edge doesn't mean that because yesterday's became obsolete, that you don't want to show the journey of how we got where we are. So that is the first thing, and the only other thing I can say is, you know, if my books are obsolete in terms of some of its information by the time they go to press, can you imagine those that are not working at this cutting edge where things change moment by moment, how far behind their work must be? So that's just all I can say about that one. I think we have time for one more quick question, Rogier.
Okay, well, another question related to this topic is really sort of what, because you're speaking of the distortion that was mirrored by the father, and we have one question which really asks what were the implications for, the rest of creation, really specifically, you know, this matter of the addiction to form and the external, really, I mean, because it seems a very masculine problem, so to speak, as well.
Yes, it is. And if the father started to create the dialogue within the mind and see the non-physical is accessed by that which is of the heart, dialogue pulls you out of the heart. And one can never more fully know that than when finally that dialogue stops. Because your heart bursts open and love pours out so tremendously. It's an unbelievable experience. And so the hearts of people have been closed, of beings have been closed because of the dialogues in their mind. Now, we are living in a time of tremendous hope. Such great things have been done. And Mother has the ability, because she lives in eternal time, to correct things. So even that which we discuss, which is an error in creation, she can undo immediately when something new or higher truth or perception reveals itself. She can undo it immediately, and it will ripple back what for us is from the beginning of creation. Because Mother lives only in one moment, and that's the moment of creation. So moment by moment, as she has a higher truth, as she understands these things, all of creation changes. So what that means for us, my brothers and sisters, because we've been speaking to you, and I'm very grateful to have had Rogier prepare these questions. They're very in-depth and very high level. But what that means for you, because the Hopis say spirituality has to grow corn, and I cannot agree with them more, is that if we understand how obsolete past is, Mother has collapsed those loops along which we used to travel in the cycles of the fall. In other words, there is no more linear progression or linear time. Time is, in fact, the movement of awareness through space. But Mother collapsed space. So the fluidity with which we should approach life needs to be of the utmost for us to reap the full benefits of the tremendous, tremendous changes that have taken place. And I have tried to the best of my ability. I spend about 6-7 hours a day doing spiritual work on top of my ordinary work of writing books and teaching classes and running my office. And I have a beautiful little Native American girl that I adopted. So on top of everything else, I spend about 6 hours a day, and I have tried to document to the best of my ability these dramatic changes, because our entire species of humanity has been evolved to what Mother has called a superhumanness. And she has done this because we are those way showers, the pivot point. And as the cosmos has expanded and Mother has expanded, so she wanted us to evolve likewise. The fluidity of life we should bring should lead forward through the heart. Our heart is the only thing that can reveal to us that which is life-enhancing and that which is not. From the prison cell of our mind, we cannot see those things. So, my brothers and sisters, it is with tremendous gratitude for your presence, because it is your listenership that will make our show fly and that will bring in more and more of the secrets of the hidden realms. So, join us again on Friday nights at 8 p.m. for the mystical world we live in, discovering the secrets of the hidden realms together. Thank you so much, Rogier, for all the input that you have given. And I love
my pleasure.
Everybody that's listened, and to you.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show, The Mystical World We Live In, with Al Mean. Please join us again next week.